I'm Alan Combs. This is Heal Planet, and I'd like to welcome Dori Blake. And here's what happened. I was reading a post by Wayne Dyer on Facebook. And Wayne Dyer, you know, one of the great motivational speakers in the world. In fact, he's called the Father of Motivation. And he was recommending this book put out by his publisher, Hay House, which, by the way, is also my publisher in full disclosure, about a book called Letting Go by David Hawkins. And I thought, well, this is great. I love this kind of stuff. Let me see if I can get David Hawkins on my show. I found out that David Hawkins died a few years ago. He's a tough guest to get, unless you can channel him. But I was looking, and I read the book, then I read David's book called Letting Go, and I realized what a profound teacher David Hawkins was. I read up on him and found out who he was, not previously having known that. And then one thing I did not get from his book, though it's a very long book and very detailed in many ways, I didn't quite feel I really understood the exact technique of letting go. So how do I learn letting go? So I did a little research and discovered a person by the name of Dori Blake, who is involved in letting go. In fact, has a website called LearnLettingGo.com. So, Dori, welcome. Thank you for coming on Heal Planet. Tell me about how it is you became involved, and I think you even attended a seminar at one point with David Hawkins. And what? How did you get in? And before we talk about letting go and what it truly is and how to do it, how did you get involved in all of this?
Well, thank you for having me, first of all, Alan. It's wonderful to be here and to be speaking of a topic that is so near and dear to my heart. I discovered Dr. David R. Hawkins back in around 2004. I was going through quite a rough patch in life. Some spiritual people would relate to calling it a dark night, and I'm not sure if that's what it was, but let's just say it was a very dark time, and it actually went on for months and years. So I was looking for something. I wasn't sure what. I think I was fed up with what I had believed to be the truth of the world and how things were wired and meant to be followed. And I really was stumped by life. And I can remember a point where I just really wanted to know the truth. And I can remember thinking that. And I don't come from much of a religious background. I'm Canadian. And, you know, I had a gentle sort of introduction to organized religion as a child, nothing intense. And I also hadn't gone out into the spiritual world of what I came to see was really glamorized, sensational sort of spirituality. I hadn't really been exposed much to that either. And somebody gave me a Nightingale Connaught recording. And it was,
they do a lot of the DVDs and recordings on spiritual issues. They're pretty well known in this field.
Yes, and it was one of a couple that they have with David R. Hawkins. And I, in my dark little space, listened. And for the first time, I really felt like I was hearing something real, that this guy was speaking the truth. And it was beyond that sense of being with a wise person. It felt beyond wisdom. It had sort of like this resonance to it, like a hum of its own. And I just found myself agreeing from some place inside of myself with all of what he was saying. Just nodding and agreeing and feeling so relieved in some ways that...
What did he say that first grabbed you?
Oh... Oh, I don't even know. It really shook me out of my victimhood. It really shook me out of blaming the world. It really rattled me to such a depth that I couldn't be that person anymore. I couldn't look at the world the same way anymore, ever again.
Was this something that... You had an instantaneous transformation, or did it happen over time?
It happened over time, and yet there was a moment when I knew that from this point forward, I know it's still going to be hard, but I'm going to be okay.
Hmm. And just the words letting go, I find comforting. If only we could learn how to do it.
Yes.
So you've had this exposure to Dr. David R. Hawkins, and then what happened after that initial exposure? How did you begin to pursue his work in such a way that it became personally valuable to you?
Just over the years, I immersed myself in his books, and I listened to his lectures, and I attended two of them, one in Sedona at the Creative Life Center and one in Long Beach, California, where the Long Beach, California one was really fun because before he even began, he was walking around this very large conference room. I think there was 800 or 900 people at that one. It was a large setting for his type of work. And I was watching him on the big screen and I was excited. I consider him my teacher, a very valued teacher in my life. I'm so grateful to him. And I'm watching him move through the crowd, but he's stopping and he's giving what I thought were silent blessings. And all of a sudden, he's standing in front of me. I saw him on the screen and then there he is right in front of me. Hmm. And I blurted out, "Hi, sweetie." and he had his eyes shut. He was blessing me, I can only assume. And then I was sort of, he carried on, and I was just stunned by it. And the lecture began, and about 20 minutes into it, it hit me what I'd said. And I just felt ridiculous, like, oh my gosh, hi, sweetie. It was actually, for me, hi, sweetie would be a way of greeting someone I absolutely adore. From, you know, my children to a very close friend. It's just, it really is indicative
of... It's a very intimate way to communicate with somebody, sure.
Yes, and you know, it wasn't really an intimate setting, and yet that was the effect that he had on me, was to take me to that place of just feeling really wonderful and happy to see him. So...
What did you learn in that lecture?
In that lecture, it was just another... tapping into my teacher, listening to this. All he ever did was share his subjective experience and encouraged us not to take his word for it. I think, and I can quote him in that, "Don't take my word for this. Take it out into life and test it out for yourself." And I've stuck true to that. And I think that is a very wise thing to say to a student. Being a teacher myself, I love that. Just don't take my word for it. Test it out yourself. Right. That way you don't run the risk of proselytizing and being the keeper of the knowledge and holder of truth.
According to your, I want to get into specifically what letting go is, but just as I'm learning about you and I'm reading from your website, you say you live in a beautiful home in a beautiful acreage and you homeschool your kids and you're provided for by a loving partner, and you say work for me looks like being on the computer, at the very most Skype, here we are, go to meeting or telephone, well protected from the critics of the world, just turn off comments, right? Don't get me wrong, I love to sweat and get dirty, just not on stage and outside a garden or a hot yoga class. So here's me faced with the realization that I'm literally frozen by the thought of a nasty critic's vial directed at me. You compare yourself to Sesame Street's Grover in Monster at the end of this book. So, Here you have, this is a little bit about you're telling the world on your website who you are, and how has then, you've gone through some kind of a transformation based on the technique we're about to talk about.
Yes, I'm not so Grover-like anymore. I think that, I don't know if I'm at that place of bring on the critics, but I feel really good in the sense of who I am, and letting go has been instrumental in that. And I'd love to tell you exactly how and why. It's not something I speak of to people. It's more something I write about and share in that blog. But
Since we are speaking, how would you then express to our audience what letting go is? And then we'll get into the technique. But overall, what does letting go mean?
So letting go is just a profound sense of inner freedom. You feel absolutely liberated being in the world. So there's a religious quote, to be in the world but not of it. Mm-hmm. It really captures what letting go can accomplish. You can make your way through life and not be ragdolled by what you see. by how people are behaving, by the latest things that are happening out there, the tragedies. It's not being passive, though. You're actively part of what's, you know, of this world. You're not shut out. You've not gone off to some airy fairy space. You're very part of the world, and yet you aren't affected by it in the same way.
Wouldn't a simple way to put it be letting go is living in the moment? It's not being obsessed with the past or worried so much about the future.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That would be a great way to look at it. It's and so when we, as we go through life, we accumulate beliefs and stories and tragedies and things that happen to us and wrongs and you know, just ways of being, like being offended, for example, easily. Some people are very easily offended. They're put off by the slightest comment, and letting go seems to help you, or helps me, to just notice that people are just doing what they're doing. They're saying what they're saying, and I don't have to be offended. I don't have to bite.
Right. You know, Eckhart Tolle talks about non-resistance, non-attachment, mm-hmm. non-judgment, all of it which helps, I think, yes. figure into this. What is letting go? How do you do it?
So letting go is just creating an awareness of, first of all, I'll back up, because you really need to be willing to let go. Letting go is available to everyone. It's like, it's always an option out there, even if you're in an absolute, you know, turmoil. Sometimes when you're in a major crisis, it's not easy to access. However, most situations, you do have the option to just let it go. And so it's a natural process that if you're not resisting what's happening, if you're not resisting it through thinking about it or talking incessantly about it or writing about it, then you have the option to let go. And so it comes with a willingness to let go. So it's an intention. People can live their lives intending to hold on to everything and to fight the world, yeah. But that's
not. Is there a particular technique? Is there a way to go about it? Is mm-hmm. there a step 1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
Here's how you do it. Okay, I'm upset about something. Something is bothering me about the past, or I'm worried about an event in the future. Something is on my mind, but I know that focusing on it, dwelling on it, isn't going to help me. How do I let go?
You let yourself feel the sensations of that, of those thoughts, of that story. You allow yourself to just sink into it without commentary. So let's say that you're upset about a situation, pick anyone, with a spouse, for example. Even in the moment of being upset, you can choose to just let yourself feel what that feels like instead of resisting it. It's the resistance that causes the discomfort, the pain, and the thoughts, actually. It's not the thoughts that come first. We think that's what it is. It's the pent-up emotions, negative emotions, and sensations held in the body that create the thoughts.
We're talking to Dori Blake. LearnLettingGo.com is her great website, where she talks about this in great depth. Well, let's say you're waiting the results of a medical test, or let's say you've just gotten bad news about a medical condition. You're going to be obsessed about it. You're going to be worried about it. How do you let go of something like that, knowing that that's going to preoccupy your mind? How can you bring yourself to a place where that doesn't occupy every inch of your brain and worry you to death?
Well, there's two parts to it as I see it. There's knowing that your thoughts are going to lead you probably in a direction that is going to create more pain, more anxiety, worry, concern. And so it's learning how to shut down those thoughts in ways that work for you. And again, to go back into the body, to notice what's going on. The body knows how to let go. It naturally does it. Children let go all the time. You can observe them and see, and also observe yourself and notice that some things you just let go. You don't bite. And so if I was faced with a very, frightening possibility, first, the rational mind could help. It may not help. So it's not reliable, because it could take you into a scary place, an even scarier place. Mm-hmm. Or you could say to yourself, you know, I don't really know what's happening, so I'm just going to go on that and I'm going to carry on with my day. sometimes the rational mind can help that way, but not always. So really, to learn how to quiet the mind, and there's a multitude of ways. Some people use meditation. I am more along the camp of Dr. Hawkins, and he encouraged students to live a contemplative life versus meditation, because meditation, as beautiful as it is not something you can do in a bank lineup when someone just arbitrarily decides to cut in front of you.
Yeah.
You need a practice that you can tap into anywhere, anytime, without having to get out of your car and, you know, that sort of thing.
All right. So you're on the bank line. Someone's cutting in front of you. And at the same time someone's cutting in front of you, you're worried about that medical test that's coming up. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Again, surrender the thoughts. You're letting go of those thoughts. You're just, they're not, you're turning down the volume. I mean, I had a practice for years that I used to, you can feel a thought, you can feel it forming. And my suggestion is to just take some time and to notice how thoughts form. You can sense them coming on. Someone says something that would normally offend you, you feel that thought formulating inside of you. So at the moment that you sense it, before it's actually formed, that's when you interrupt it and shut it down. So the practice of quieting the mind for me, because it happens all the time, it's not a meditative thing, although it can be, is to actually notice what's going on inside, notice the thought about to form, and nip it. And how I nipped it for years was I would say this phrase inside my head, and this too, I surrender to God. Well, it was kind of long. So over time, it became, and this too, or just and.
Uh-huh. Well, isn't there also a theory that you get into the feeling a little more before you surrender it? You kind of allow yourself to really, really feel it. Maybe you feel worse for a bit before you feel better.
So this is once the thoughts aren't in the way. Yes, absolutely. Now you're going into the sensations that you notice in and even around your body. And with letting go, I found that the more that you get into the practice of just letting go, the more you can actually get into a greater depth. You can ask for more. If you're really frightened about speaking in public, for example, you can really sit down and do a meditative practice, go into that feeling, allow it, and then ask for more of it. And then ask for more and ask for more. And what happens is, in asking for more, I know it sounds counterintuitive, it actually it's an action of non-resistance. You're not resisting when you're asking for more.
But isn't that different than end it? Isn't that the opposite of what you're saying when you say end it?
End it.
When you said, like, you know, God, let it go, or let this go.
Oh, that's
please
the
end this for me. Yeah,
that's the thoughts. So the thoughts I'm interrupting, they're not helpful. Thinking is not helpful in letting go. It's a distraction. It's a nuisance, actually.
So you don't say end it. You don't say that to yourself.
Not when I'm going into the sensations of my body. So if I was to go over the steps, it would be, you may notice you have a negative feeling. It might start with a thought, though. And so it's a negative sense. And then you allow the sensations. But what I found with writing the blog was a lot of people were writing in and they were really stumped at the whole mind stuff, the chatter in their heads. Uh-huh. They couldn't get past that to even notice that they had sensations in their body. And some people will even say, I can't feel anything. And so this was what I discovered over time. And I, like you, when I read Dr. Hawkins' book, Letting Go, was a little bit unclear about, okay, what are the steps to this? How am I going to... My intention was clear. I wanted to let go. I wanted to make letting go a practice, but I wasn't sure how to go about it. And therefore, I found, okay, having a fairly good handle on the whole thinking stuff, I went into, okay, I'm going to notice when I have a negative feeling, because I know how to shut down the monkey mind. I'm pretty good at it. I'm not perfect, but it's definitely, I've got a handle on that, and I've got lots of strategies and tools at my disposal. But it was the, okay, notice a negative feeling coming up. Now, can I just allow that, go into it, quiet the mind, and allow it, and breathe. And the whole notion of breath in letting go is to send your breath to those sensations.
How does getting into the feeling enable the letting go of the feeling?
Because you're willing, by going into the feeling, your willingness to not resist it is what lets it go.
In other words, not judging it, letting it, allowing it, somehow enables you to lose it.
Yeah, it's like, you know that saying, what you resist persists?
Yes.
It's that stance.
That's
it's very interesting. Yeah.
So you're putting energy into resisting something, and that energy is actually feeding the very thing that you're trying to resist.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And this is the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you say end it, or do you say you avoid those kinds of thoughts? Or do you say, God, take this away? Or are there any words that come to your mind when you're doing this?
Lately, I use shh. I just, if I'm going through a phase where I've got some thoughts that are kind of annoying, I just shush them. Shh. And I hope that doesn't make me like a crazy person,
but it's silent. You say you reiterate the thoughts to yourself?
No, I don't want to hear them. I'm not interested in them. I really believe that the thoughts, unless I've actually willed my mind to think, like I'm putting it to work in some study or some writing, if all of a sudden some random thought just comes through, I'm not interested in it. It's not who I believe I am.
Uh-huh. We're not our thoughts.
No, it just.
So there aren't words you say to yourself like next. This is over. What's next? You don't say those things to yourself.
Or cancel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, once in a while. I mean, it's just, and knowing that you are not your thoughts is a powerful understanding. There's people walking around believing that they are exactly their thoughts.
It's interesting. You mentioned meditation and that this is a more immediate, more in the moment technique. Because meditation, you sit by yourself 20 minutes a day, maybe twice a day. And this you can do on a bank line or while you're driving your car or anything else. But what about doing both? Isn't it okay? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people who may be into a meditation technique and be able to do the letting go technique. They're not opposites. In fact, couldn't they work together?
They absolutely do. Mm-hmm. I do both. So in really good letting go times for me, like formal letting go, is when I'm first waking up in the morning and when I'm drifting off to sleep. It's very meditative. I'm not interested in hearing anything. I just am noticing what's going on. And then the contemplative aspect, it carries me through the day. So it's not like the only negative about meditation is you're a little bit clustered away from the world. You're not in the world so much. It's like being in a yoga class. It's a beautiful meditative yoga class. And then you go out and road rage hits you.
Huh.
You know, right? It's right. Just, what do you do then? You're not back in that meditative state. It's like not being able to access that part of yourself. Dr. Hawkins used to speak of us being the sun, and the thoughts and all that mind clutter were the clouds. You know, Shrek calls it, you know, he's an onion. It's clearing the layers. And so then you reveal the sun. You clear those clouds, you reveal the sun inside, which is that oneness. Your son is like my son. That's that namaste that we're all talking about. That's what connects us.
Right. We're talking with Dory Blake, and learnlettinggo.com goes into great detail on all of this. And it's based on the work of Dr. David R. Hawkins, whose last book, just shortly before he passed away, was Letting Go. I always kind of wondered that he was so good at letting go, having written this book, that maybe he just didn't need to be here anymore.
I loved your little joke at the beginning in your introduction about, you know, when you went looking for him and then you realized that he sort of died. He had such a wonderful sense of humor, and it doesn't always come out in the books. Actually, the books are very serious, but in his lectures, and I mean, go on YouTube, you'll just delight in him.
He's all over YouTube. If you go to YouTube and put in David Hawkins or just letting go, and he had a way to get right to the point very, very quickly.
Yes. And he used to say the ego is humorless. There again, when you're noticing those thoughts in response to something that you hear or see in the world, it's like when you feel that sort of humorless energy build up inside you, that almost, well, prideful energy, just cancel it. Don't entertain it. Don't listen to it. Let go instead.
How has your life changed since you've been doing, how long have you been doing this? How long has this been part of your life?
Couple years now. And I was doing a master's degree, and that was a kind of an interesting thing. So I decided I would do a directed study. My master's degree is with a self-design graduate institute, if I can plug them. They are wonderful because you get to design your own masters. They have a fairly nice base to get you launched and started. But then after that, it's wonderful. It encourages you to explore yourself. And to me, I wasn't interested in anything other than that. I really subscribe to Socrates' Know Thyself and Shakespeare's To Thine Own Self Be True. And I wasn't interested in adding any more content to myself. I didn't want to know any more stuff. And I'm not saying that like I know everything. I'm saying that I'm more interested in clearing away what is distracting me from the reality of my deeper self.
Yeah, we all, it seems like we all have this brush that needs to be cleared in our heads, right? Like clearing brush, and we, a lot of us never get to the clear part because there's so much stuff that we are muddling through that really, that's like the thoughts you were talking about, and our thoughts are not who we are, and some of those thoughts are really not helpful. They're destructive, in fact.
Yeah, they're very weakening. And you can, I mean, you can fall into a state of, say, victimhood, for example, where they carry you sometimes for decades and define you.
So how has your life changed since you began using this technique?
Well, I'm not so, I'm very difficult to offend.
That's good. There's so much out there that would like to offend us.
Yeah, and I let people be who they are. My life has changed because I think the context is my focus now, less than the content. Again, thoughts being content. Context being that deeper sense of reality and truth. Like, I'm much more interested in a notion like be kind than some long monologue about why be kind and getting into the ins and outs of it and the nuances.
Has it changed your relationships?
I'm very devoted to the people in my life. I'm actually able to be devoted to them. And to me, that was an intention I had about 6-7 years ago, to explore devotion to the people in my life. And I feel that letting go has helped me with that intention to deepen that understanding.
Did you find a newer group of people in your life, or losing some people who may not have been as important to you?
Yeah. And you, well, I've ended up with the people that, that have kind of gone their way. I love them from a distance. That's sort of my policy. Mm-hmm. I love them from a distance, and they can be who they are. And I'm not, I don't, what's letting go has done for me is I've let go of the demand that people be different than they are.
I guess where I get stuck on this is, okay, I get into the feeling. I now want to let go of the feeling, but I have sometimes a hard time getting to that next part where the feeling goes away. If it's something I don't want to, if I want to let go of something, the actual part of it going away doesn't always happen as immediately as I would like.
Mm-hmm. And what's really neat about the intention, spiritual intentions trigger the ego. The ego loads up a whole pile of programs that you had no idea you were going to have to deal with. And it's funny when you say, here's a good example that I can share from my own experience. It's like, I would like to be more unconditionally loving to all people, and especially myself. It's an intention I have, a goal, a spiritual goal. Well, guess what happens next? I mean, all type of zombie come and creepy people and you name it, you would just attract the most difficult relationships when you make that kind of a declaration. And so when you say my intention is to let go, and that should be enough, and I'm going to practice these little steps that Dory laid out, and off you go, having been informed of what letting go could do for you, the ego is right there ready to attack your every move.
So I guess the more difficult it is to break through, the more ego you have to kind of fight. in order to get to where you want to be.
If
people go to learnlettinggo.com, what are they going to find?
Well, they're going to find a review on what we've discussed on how to let go, the steps, why you might want to let go. And letting go is always a choice. And I make that very clear throughout the entire website. It's your choice. I'm not telling you to let go. Frankly, I don't even care if you let go. It would be nice, but I can't control whether you do or you don't. And so what I think someone may experience is just one person's experience with letting go. Sometimes it's kind of funny, I hope. I'm as honest as I can be without, you know, divulging to being too personal. And I share a lot of applications in the world. Like, you know, what if you feel like you kind of want to let go of a family member? What does that look like? And I write about that. Or a relationship. You know, what does that look like? What might you experience? What might you need to know that in going into that? And there's just a multitude of applications that I've featured. And I carry on over time adding to it. And people write to me and they ask me questions about different things. And I have an intuitive clairsentience background, and very often it's easy to tap into them and give them some notions that I have from connecting with them.
So, I would think it's one thing to let go of a thought when somebody cuts into you on a bank line. It's quite another thing to be able to let go of a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Or a let go with a certain type of relationship you have with yourself.
Sure. That might even be toughest of all.
Yeah. What if you have an addiction to thinking? What do you do now? where do you? I mean, how do you let go of that? That's huge.
Yeah. Thinking is bad.
Well, it's not bad if you decided that's what you want to do. The mind is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful tool, and so is the ego. And that's the thing. It's like to fight the ego, demonize the ego. That's not going to help. The ego loves it. It loves it. So you need to make it adorable. and laugh at it. And, you know, there are definitely ways to lull it as opposed to put up your dukes and fight it, because really you will lose. It'll take you down.
Well, listen, I really appreciate your taking the time to talk to us. When I learned about Dr. Hawkins and then read his book, I wanted to explore it further. And I looked around and your information came up. And I'm so glad it did. And you're out there explaining this to people, because I think it's an important. And it's interesting that Hawkins also, he talks about this versus therapy, and that his belief was you can accomplish with this technique what it might take years in therapy to accomplish.
Mm-hmm, because the goals are very different. I do remember that part. He said the goal of therapy, seeing as we've mentioned the ego, is to create an acceptable ego. So you're actually refining the ego and making it, polishing it so that it's acceptable to the rest of us. Whereas the goal of letting go is inner freedom.
Right, right. That's a good place to end, inner freedom. Thank you very much, Dori, for talking to us. And
you're welcome.
Let me invite our listeners to go to learnlettinggo.com to learn more. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Alan. And thank you for letting go.
And this is Heal Planet.